Great to see you. There's two things that you should have. One is we're going to finish forgiveness today, Lord willing. That's the green one, the blue one. You should already have that. We have some. If you didn't get one or didn't bring it, we only had 40 this May. But anyway, we'll finish like the last page of that. And then I went ahead and handed out the study that we'll start for the next time is on temptation. You remember when we listed the studies we wanted to do, there were four of them that all almost tied. So I started with forgiveness because that was really the shortest of the study. And then this is the second one, was really tied with forgiveness as far as what y'all wanted to study. So for the next weeks, we're going to be looking at the whole issue of temptation. What we want to do is finish forgiveness first. And if we do finish it this morning, we'll have open it up for time for questions. And if we have time, we'll go right on in to our study on temptation. We'll do that. Let me remind you of any announcements. Tonight we're studying, of course, Genesis. Awana will be in here. We'll be in the South Complex. Genesis chapter 30. It's where Jacob, if you've been studying with us, Jacob has been with Laban and he's leaving to come back to the promised land. There's a confrontation coming and you'll see it tonight because Jacob does something when he leaves. Laban doesn't like it and we'll see how that's really, there's a lot of good stuff in that. Don't forget about CBI that starts not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. There's seven or eight classes listed. There's Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey, 2-2, 4-12 Christian Life, a study on end times, and then a couple of the 4-12 foundational studies. So there's a lot of things there. So if you've not taken any of those, be sure and sign up for them because they're really, really fun. And you can learn a lot. There's a lot in there. And on Wednesday, I started a quick two-part study because this Wednesday will be the last one because we start CBI. But I'm studying Proverbs 1, the first proverb, and it's a number of verses, but we only went through the first seven last week because we got the idea of background and Proverbs, who wrote it, the wisdom literature, and then we'll finish it this week. So if you can come for Wednesday night, that'll be fun, the Wednesday night meal. We need some help on Wednesday night meals. We need some people who might want to be able to cook. We're running into some issues on the cooking as far as having some people having time to cook. If that's something that you'd have time to do and you'd want to do and help with the Wednesday night meals, we always need people to serve. We need people to take up the money and to clean up and those kind of things, but we really have a big need of somebody who might can have the time to cook. Maybe a couple of people. So if that's an area that you might have some time to do, let us know quickly, because if not, we've got to make some changes and we'll just see what we have to do. But we've got an issue there we got to get fixed, and we need you. Okay? All right. Well, let's do this. We're studying. If you want to go ahead and open your Bibles, you can open them to Ephesians chapter 4, and you probably know where you left off on your handout on the blue sheet, but I'm going to give a little review today on some things, and then we'll talk about forgiveness as a whole, and if we have time, we'll start with temptation. Let me start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for our class. What a fun time we have as we come together. Thank you, Lord, thank you for allowing me to get to be a part of this. And I count it as a great joy. Thank you, Lord, for each one who comes just week after week after week and the fun that we have. And Lord, as we've been thinking about forgiveness, Lord, may we understand it and may we do it. May we forgive one another just as you in our Savior Jesus Christ have forgiven us. So, Lord, we ask you that. We think also about the study on temptation coming. Lord, we know that as we go through life, there are pulls all the time. And may we have victory in that area. Lord, just teach us now as we finish. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been looking at forgiveness, and I think it's a very powerful study because that's the problem. As we go through life, things are going to happen all the time. Somebody's going to hurt our feelings. Sometimes people hurt us and they don't even mean to do it. Sometimes people hurt us and they do mean to do it. Sometimes we perceive a hurt that people didn't even hurt us. We just thought we got hurt. We thought they did something. I mean, who knows? But the problem is that we get hurt, or as we go through life, things happen to us that we need to forgive. And what as we've gone through this study, we realize that forgiveness is a key, because forgiveness is really for us. Because if somebody does you wrong, somebody hurts you, whether it's on purpose or not, and you then say, I'm not forgiving them, or I'm mad at them, or I'm angry at them, and you carry that, you become bitter and angry, and it never is good. It is never good for us at all. And, bottom line, if we don't forgive others, God doesn't forgive us. And we're talking about the fellowship issue there. So there's a lot there. What I wanted to do is go back to the part where there it says the three stages. There are, I mean, three aspects, three things. We talked about the stages of forgiveness, the misconceptions of forgiveness, and reasons people do not forgive. That's really sort of where we are. And let me just remind you of the idea of the stages of forgiveness. If you've got your sheet, you can look at it. We've already talked about it. But this is what people go through when they get hurt, or when there's the whole idea of forgiveness. First of all, there's hurt because somebody's hurt us. Somebody did us wrong. We need to admit that we're hurt. Sometimes people don't want to do that. What they want to do is they just want to deny the whole thing and to say, I wasn't hurt. That really didn't bother me. That didn't hurt me at all. The truth is it did hurt, and we need to recognize it. Second stage is anger, and that's what happens. How could they do this? And sometimes the anger is at the person, and sometimes tied in with that anger is anger at God for allowing it to happen. And we say, how could God let this happen to me? So there's an anger thing. The third thing that comes in sometimes is revenge. People say, well, you know, I don't get mad. I just get even. The truth is, vengeance belongs to who? The Lord. I mean, let's face it. You're never supposed to get somebody back. You're just not supposed to. I mean, that's the first normal response when somebody does you wrong is to do them wrong, to get them back, to stop that, to say you're not going to get away with this. But revenge doesn't work. It doesn't solve. I mean, if you remember Princess Bride and Montego, he went the whole life trying to find the six-fingered man, you know, who killed his father. He says, prepare to die, prepare to die. He killed the man finally at the end of the movie, but he realized, you know, that all that going after this guy didn't change anything. And so revenge never is the answer. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. I guarantee you this, nobody ever gets away with anything. Just remember this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. Whatever a person puts in, they get back. God always measures it out, and God is the one who can do the revenge. The fourth area is the forgiveness of the stage. It is we get to a point where we recognize that, and we can't get them back. We leave it to God. We leave it up to Him, and we forgive them, which means to let it go. I just wanted to remind you this. Forgiveness biblically is to release a debt. It is to let it go. That when you forgive someone, you are saying, they're not accountable to me in that sense. I've let it go. I'm not expecting them to say they're sorry. I'm not expecting them to say anything. I'm letting it go. That's what it is. Now, we talked about some ways people deal with hurt, and number one is they deny it, and I mentioned that a while ago. They didn't really do it. They didn't really hurt me. They thought they were going to hurt me, but nothing hurts me. Say, I'm too tough. Nothing hurts me. That's what we say sometimes. We don't realize that it really does hurt us. And when we deny it, that's not forgiveness. We're just fooling ourselves. Second is excusing. We say things like, well, they're not really to blame. They didn't really mean it. No, they didn't really do it. Well, the truth is they did it. They did it whether they meant to or not. And so the third thing is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't really care. We pretend that it doesn't hurt at all. And we just say it just doesn't matter. And I've known people who are going through their lives saying it doesn't matter, and they're just bitter because it does matter. And the last thing is they say, I just gotta forget it. See, I just forget it. Well, our minds are too good just to forget it. I mean, that's the problem. Is that our minds are so good that when we say, I'm going to forget this that happened, it's still in our minds. And it's connected to our memories and to our emotions. And so we really have to forgive. We can't do these things. I had the two misconceptions about forgiveness. If you remember them, the first one was that once we forgive, we will not think about it anymore. That's a misconception. I've had people say, well, I keep thinking about it, so obviously I haven't forgiven them. Just because you think about it doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. It's going to be in your mind. As I said earlier, our minds are really good. We may have these memories for the rest of our lives. And that's just something you have to remember. That B is once we've forgiven, the pain will go away. The emotions will be gone. I've had people say, if I've forgiven the person, why does it still hurt so badly? Well, because it's part of something that happened to us. I guarantee you, can you in this room, if you had to, can you think back to a time in your life? It may all the way back to junior high or high school or grammar school or early part of your life or middle or you can think of a time in which you were hurt, which something happened, which you were really bothered. And there are emotions still there, and you can almost feel those emotions. You can almost feel those emotions. And it is true that as years go by, and that if we've forgiven and done the right things, sometimes the memory, you know, time has a way of helping on a lot of things. And sometimes the emotions get better, but just because you feel the emotions, and just because you remember it, it doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven. Because forgiveness is you are releasing the debt. The last thing is, this is where we got last time, and I want to just go through these, and then I want to open it up for anything you want to talk about, the whole issue of forgiveness. But reasons that people have for not forgiving. And here's the first one, and I think we got it, was pride. People basically say, I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to look weak. I'm not going to give in to that person. I'm not going to let them get away with this. They can't do this to me and get away with it. The problem with this is when you say, or when we say, they're not going to get away with this, they're not going to do this to me, who do they think they are doing this to me? The only one being hurt is us. They don't even care. Let's face it, sometimes when people hurt you, they don't care. If you're going to go the rest of your life going to harm them by being angry at them, you're not harming them. They don't even care. So the thing we got to do is pride can't go in there. The second one is and we talked about this, they think others are getting away with wrongdoing. I've had people say that if I let it go, though, if I actually let it go, they're going to get away with what they've done. What did we say a while ago? Nobody gets away. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God says, do not return evil with evil. Return evil with good. Now, that is really hard. I think that's one of the hardest parts of the Bible. We read the Bible and act like it's no big deal. Never return evil with evil. Is it easy to return evil with evil? It would be. Return evil with good. How was the last time you did good to the person who did you wrong? Your natural instinct is, number one, I'd like to get them back. Number two is, I don't want to ever deal with them again. And if they were in the middle of the road and their car was broken down, I'm not stopping for them. Right? Isn't that what you think? That's our flesh. That's the natural man. The natural man says, you are not going to do this to me. You're not going to get away with this. They don't get away with it. Never return evil with evil. Return evil with good. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Boy, that's really tough. Forgiveness is not an easy thing. If it was easy, everybody would do it. The third one is they think if they forgive, they won't have control anymore. Because, see, there's an aspect of control of saying, I have them under bondage because they wronged me and I'm not going to ever treat them the same way. And if they think they could just go through life and treat me that way, well, no, I'm going to. And that's what people think. We all know our lives. We know that times people have hurt us and how we respond. And the truth is it doesn't do us any good. The fourth one, we wait for that person to come to us. Well, if they want forgiveness, forgiveness isn't for them. Forgiveness is for who? It's for us. It's for our benefit. Now, if a person came to you and said, I was wrong, and you say to them, yeah, you were. You were. You hurt me. Yeah, I was wrong. What do you say? I what? I forgive you. Of course you forgive them. You're going to forgive them whether they come to you or not. If you're waiting for them to come to you, you may be waiting how long? Rest of your life, because they may not come, because they may say, I don't think I did you wrong. I don't think I did anything wrong to you. And so one of the reasons that people don't forgive is they're waiting for the person to come. Yes, Hazel.
Oh, just say, oh, it doesn't matter.
Okay, that's a great point. If somebody were to come to you and say to you, I'm sorry, I did you wrong, it is important to say, it did hurt. I love you. Thanks for coming. It really hurt. Because we don't want to do the denial thing, remember? So it's okay if I hurt you and I came to you and I said, I blew it. It's okay for you to say, yeah, that really hurt. I didn't think you'd do that. What we often say is, oh, no, no big deal. No big deal. Well, it's a deal. They're all deals. Some are bigger than others, but they're all deals. So it's okay. You're exactly right, Hazel. When somebody comes to you and you remember when Peter said the thing, how often should I forgive my brother? What? Seven times? And what did he say? 70 times seven? He says, every time somebody comes to you and asks for forgiveness, what do? You forgive them. And that doesn't mean you say, oh, you didn't really do anything. Forgiving somebody is not saying they didn't do anything. Forgiving somebody is not saying that it didn't hurt badly. Last but not least, why don't some people forgive? We forget what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. I mean, this is the key one. Ephesians 4, you should be in Ephesians 4. Look at verse 32. That's the famous verse that we've looked at all through the whole study. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We forget what we have done. You remember the parable that we studied? Where the guy owed so much money, it was really more than you could even count. Billions and billions of dollars, and he came and fell down before the guy he owned it to and said, give me time and I'll do it. And the guy said, I'll just forgive you. And then he goes out and the guy owes him $50. And he won't forgive the guy, and he chokes him around the neck and everything. And they come back and said, listen, you forgave this guy billions of dollars. He won't even forgive somebody $50. We're the billions of dollars. What do we owe God? Billions and billions of billions. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned billions of times. But God in Christ Jesus has done what? Forgiven us. When we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, we have the forgiveness of sins. And we have to say, okay, this is what God has done for us. What should I do for others when they happen to sin against us? Because all sin ultimately is against God. But then sometimes we sin against people. So sometimes people say, I don't forgive. Well, we forget what God has done for us. Now, I want to say one thing that has to be talked about through this stuff. Somebody does you wrong. It hurts you badly. You forgive them, which means you release the debt whether they come to you or not. You're not mad, are you, honey? Okay. No, she's got to go to work. Go to the hospital. Forgive me. Okay, but anyway. Somebody hurt you. And you forgive them. Not because they come to you, because they haven't yet. But let's say you forgive them because you're releasing the debt. They come to you and they say, I did wrong. And you say, you did. Will you forgive me? What's the answer? Yes. Does that mean you put yourself in the same situation again or you could get hurt again? No. Forgiveness doesn't mean you put... I can't even think of an example. Maybe somebody's beating somebody. Maybe somebody's hitting somebody. Maybe somebody's stealing somebody's money. And you catch them and you're hurt. And then they come to you and say, I'm so sorry. And here's the money back. And I'll never do that again. Does that mean you hire them to take care of your books again? No. So forgiveness doesn't mean you necessarily put yourself back into a same situation where you can be hurt all over again. There's wisdom in this life. So I just want to bring that up because a lot of times people say, well, if I've forgiven them, they have the same reign, the same everything they've had. No, there are consequences to actions. And sometimes people do things because of the consequences, they may not be in the same position as before, or the same relationship, or the same job, or the same anything. So forgiveness doesn't mean putting yourself where you get hurt necessarily again. I just wanted to bring that one up because a lot of times I've heard people say, well, you know, I forgave them, so that means they can do exactly what they've always done. I said, no, that doesn't. So does that help any on that one? Okay, let me do this. Let's think about some applications. There's two or three things, and then we'll open it up for any questions you might have. Bottom line, let's forgive one another as God has forgiven us in Christ. That's the bottom line of the whole study. We've looked at forgiveness. We've looked at all kind of things all the way through. What is forgiveness? Old Testament, New Testament, what does it mean? How does it fit? The whole idea of forgiveness of sins, and then for the whole eternal life aspect of forgiveness of sins. We looked at the idea of payment of sins, forgiveness of sins. We've now looked at forgiveness of sins as far as fellowship and all those kind of things. So we've seen a lot of things, but the bottom line is let's forgive one another just as God has forgiven us in Christ. The big deal is this, or number one, is deal with it. Deal with when we've been hurt. Deal with it. 1 Peter 4:8, what does it say? Let love what? Cover over a multitude of sins. There are sometimes in our lives that people do something wrong, and because of love, we just let it go. They just don't worry about it. In fact, in your life, even now, Is there someone or something that happened in your life that you haven't forgiven? This is one of the applications we want you to come up with from this study, is that forgive others. You may want to go home, or you may just want to sit down and you want to say, listen, what's going on in my life? Is there something that's happened that I'm still holding some kind of grudge, that I'm still holding some kind of thing that I'm never forgiven, that I've never let it go? Now remember, the emotions and the memories, that's not the same thing. You may have emotions and memories for the rest of your life, but I'm talking about, is there something that's happened that you've refused, that you haven't forgiven? Deal with it. Is there someone you need to forgive? Do it. If you need to confront, there may be a time. Remember the Matthew 18 and the Matthew 5. In the Matthew 18, it says, if somebody has done you wrong, go to them one-on-one. The Matthew 5 says, if you think somebody thinks you've done them wrong, if you don't even think you've done them wrong, but you know that somebody has something against you, you may go to them and say, what have I done? I'm sorry for whatever I've done. Those two things may have to happen, so deal with it. B, is trust God. Trust Him. Because the natural response is to do what? What's the natural response when people hurt you? We got to get them back. We cannot let this happen. We're not going to let this happen. We've got to trust God on this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall also reap. Never return evil with evil. Return evil with good. Allow God to deal with it. You just got to. That's the only way it works. And so often, we feel like that if we actually forgive them, and if we don't, in a sense, get them back, they're going to get away with it. Sometimes people do us wrong. And when they do you wrong, they actually do wrong. Not just hurt your feelings, but they may break the law. Your forgiveness does not mean that they don't suffer the consequences of their actions. Someone hurts you badly and goes to jail for it. You forgive them. That doesn't mean, okay, you can release them from jail because I forgave them. No. There are consequences to people's actions. And so sometimes, many times when people do things wrong, not only is it wrong to us, but it is wrong in a sense legally and everything else. And sometimes they suffer the consequences. And when you forgive them, that doesn't mean the consequences are to be gone. If you remember several years ago, it was the woman that was going to be put to death in Texas who had become a Christian. And some people were arguing that now that she's become a Christian, and I think she'd committed murder. And they were going to say, people said that she is a Christian. She was having Bible studies at the penitentiary. She was doing everything. And some people said, well, because this woman has become a Christian now, that she doesn't deserve to die. And they interviewed her. And you know what she said? She said, I deserve to die. And she died. They put her to death. So because of a person saying, I'm sorry, I did wrong, forgive me, we forgive them, that doesn't mean that there may not, that doesn't mean that consequences aren't there anymore, because they may be. I remember reading a story about B.J. Thomas, you know, the guy that sang Raindrops Falling on My Head. He had gotten into drugs, and I read that he had to take 30 uppers to get himself ready for a concert so he could be all hyped up. And then when he got through, he had to take all these pills to sort of get down, or somehow to get him down from these highs. And he said he realized that it was just controlling him totally. And he had become, not too long after all this was happening, he became a Christian. And he said, I thought by coming a Christian, all this would end. He said, I still had to get off of these drugs. It just didn't miraculously stop the day I became a Christian. And sometimes when people do wrong, even when there's forgiveness, it doesn't mean that the consequences go away. So the idea of trusting God is that in every aspect, we've got to trust Him to deal with the people who do us wrong. We forgive, we release the debt, we trust God. And then the last thing is remember our forgiveness in Christ. When you wake up every morning, we should say, thank you, Lord. Because against you, as David said, Against you and you only have I sinned. I mean, let's face it, all sin is against God. He's the Creator. He made us. He saved us. He gifted us. He leaves us on this earth. He lets us breathe our breaths and live another day. And we are accountable to Him in every aspect of life. And what we do is, even after we have trusted in Christ as Savior, we continue to sin and do wrong. And we never want to forget that we have forgiveness. We have the payment of sin through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. We have the forgiveness of sins in our relationship for all eternity simply by faith in Christ. And we have on an ongoing basis forgiveness of sins and fellowship as we confess our sins. So we must remember the great forgiveness that we have in Christ. And that's going to really make a difference when we deal with other people. Okay, we got a couple of minutes. Questions coming? Yeah, Don. And then we'll get that too. Right.
That makes it harder to
forgive. I think it's a great point. Did you hear what he said? He said that when we forgive someone, there's this mindset in our minds that they're never going to be held accountable for their actions. But sometimes they're held accountable by the state, Romans 13, laws of the government. But they are always going to be held accountable by God. Because he reaping and sowing, that's God's plan. That's the plan that God said. The plan of reaping and sowing, whatever you sow, you reap, that doesn't matter whether you're Christian or non-Christian or anything. That is the plan that happens to every human being. That you put in, you get out. And so I think you're right, Don. I think that's one of the things that people say is, but if I let it go, they get away with it. They don't get away with it. It may look like they get away with it, but they never get away with it. Yes. Great point. Yes. Anything else you want to say, or just that? Okay. He says, we address the need for a person to forgive themselves. There's what we call false guilt and true guilt. If I lied to Don, and I said, man, I lied to Don. That is true guilt. I lied. And what should I do if I lied to Don? Two things. One is I confess my sin. 1 John 1:9, I confess to God, I lied to Don. He's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me, so I'm back into fellowship with God. I may need to go to Don, probably, and say, Don, I just want you to know I'm really sorry. I lied to you. And he says, it hurt. But of course, I forgive you, and I love you, and I love you too. And so then I go home, and I go, I can't believe I lied to Don. What a jerk I am. I'm a horrible person, you know. I'm not worthy at all. And let me ask you something. Are any of us worthy to serve God? So whenever somebody says, I'm not worthy to serve God, of course you're not worthy to serve God. None of us are. So you just throw that one out the window. We get to serve God because of His grace, right? So when we go and we do something wrong and then we keep this guilt thing like, how could I do this? How could I do this? How could I do this? I call that false guilt because you've already been forgiven by God and I've already been forgiven by Don. So it's called a false guilt and we don't need that. Satan wants you to have a false guilt because what he wants you to do is to think that how unworthy you are and that you can't be used by God because of what a jerk or how you always do this. He said, yeah, that's how you are. Just remember that. You can't ever serve God. Forgetting what is behind and pressing on to what is ahead. When we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. You need to go on from that point. I remember I trusted Christ when I was 19. I got fired up when I was 25, 26. I got on fire. I was rolling. I was doing so good. And then I did something that I knew was wrong. And I confessed it. And for about 2 or 3 weeks, man, I was not really the same. And this was back when Knapp was my pastor, and I was still coaching at Mississippi State. And he saw me one day at church, and he says, you're not yourself. I said, I know, I'm really down. Why are you so down? I said, well, I blew it. I did this. And I told him what I did. It was not, you know. He said, so, but you've already confessed it? Oh, yeah. He said, then why are you carrying this around? I said, well, you know, just what a jerk I am, what I've done. He said, well, that's just what Satan wants you to think. He doesn't want you to serve him. I mean, he doesn't want you to serve God. He wants you to think that you can't do anything because how bad you are. He said, that's exactly how he wants you. So what we must do is the false guilt, this true guilt. When you do something wrong, admit it, confess it, and then go to the person if you need to and all the things, solve all that. But don't carry around false guilt because once you confess it, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. It is gone. He takes the sin and puts it as far as the east is from the west. He throws your sin into the sea and there's a no fishing sign, right? That's the bottom line. So that's true. We haven't had the second bell, first bell. We had the second bell too? Or does anybody know? We've got one more. One more question.
Mm-hmm. Right before that, he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.
Right. Okay, she's got the part where Jesus was talking to the apostles, and he's about to send them out with his authority. And he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. He's talking about that they represent Jesus Christ in the same way that I can say to you, if you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have the forgiveness of sins. I'm representing Christ in a sense by saying that, and so in a sense, I'm saying you have forgiveness of sins if you trust in Jesus Christ. If you don't trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't have forgiveness of sins. That's the same thing he's telling them. He's not saying they have the authority to say to somebody, oh, your sins aren't forgiven. No, no. He's saying they represent Jesus Christ with the message, and the message is if you believe in Christ, what do you have? Forgiveness of sins. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, what don't you have? Forgiveness of sins. Now, you have the payment of sins. That's already happened, but you have to have the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness comes by faith. So does that help any? Okay. Anything else? Yeah.
How do you know when you've forgiven someone? I mean, you try to forgive, you say you've forgiven, but then when you think about the person, you have this animosity.
Mm-hmm. Well, the animosity may be coming from the memories and the emotions. If you say, I release this debt, I do not expect them to come to me, I do not expect anything from them, that technically is forgiveness. And there may be times that you just, because of the emotions and the memories, now when that happens, you may say, oh Lord, I don't want to have this animosity. I've already released it. Whatever it takes, Lord, I'm letting it go. I don't want to deal with this. So well, our minds are really good. We remember everything. And their emotions are really there. So, I think that's there's forgiveness if you've released the debt, but the memories and sometimes the emotions and the animosity may be there a little bit. You got to deal with it when it comes.
I read somewhere that if you should, once you've forgiven someone, you should be willing to invite them to your home for dinner, and that's how you know you really forgave them. But I just can't see.
Well, if the guy tried to rape you, I don't think you invite him for dinner. You forgive him. But he may ought to be in jail, you know. What they're trying to say is, if you're willing to sit down and eat with them, then that shows you've forgiven. I know people who eat with people who haven't forgiven them. They might put poison in their food. Here, eat some of this, friend.
What I see as being hard to forgive, though, is the person that does break the law, you know, breaks into your house, kills your child, or whatever kind of thing, and through some loophole doesn't go to jail for it. That to me would be the hard one to really think that, okay, they're getting away with it. And remember that still in charge.
Right, just because the laws of the government may have failed doesn't mean that God's part will fail, because he will deal with it. That's the only way we can think about it. That's the only way we can deal with it. Think about it. No other way. One more thing? I think, as the bell ring? It's past time, I think. Okay, one more real quickly. If it's a long one, I won't answer. Okay.
I was just thinking about when Jesus told his disciples that a lot of their problems will be within their own immediate families, like forsake father, mother, forsake the mother against the daughter.
Right.
And I think when it's within your own family,
it is hard when it's in your own family. And that's, he was talking about the fact that sometimes you'll believe and some of your family won't believe and there'll be conflicts there. But it's true, there are conflicts in family. We better stop this past time. Heavenly Father, what a great time. Thank you, Lord, for this whole study on forgiveness. May we do that. May we remember what you have done for us in Christ. And may we live our lives in this way and have victory. Lord, help us as we start thinking about the study on temptation. And maybe we'll have a great time as we learn from that as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.